Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome to the Saucer Pod, and yet one more sequence of dog poet transmitting. This evening, we are skimming over the empty wastes of Mongolia. If you have a saucer pod, Mongolia is a great place to cruise around over because outside the cities there are not that many people, and in places like that where there are not many people, there are other energies present. This can be said for many of the empty spaces in this world, and there's a lot more empty space than there is occupied space. If you throw in the oceans, there's a tremendous amount of unoccupied space. Should the world be allowed to continue, and that is a questionable hypothesis, one day there will be manufactured islands and residential structures in the waters and possibly underwater communities. Then again, there may already be underwater communities and communities deep within the earth as well. There's a lot we don't know. There are a lot of empty places in the world where other things are going on. This applies to the planets and solar systems in space. This applies to inner space as well. Inner space is quite vast, but we don't get much of the measure of that because we continue to be confined within the dimensions of our personal limitations. Things like meditation allow us to expand in inner space. If we are properly vibrationally resonant, we can attract friends that might have been at a considerable distance from us. Most of us attract all kinds of entities, mostly undesirable entities, based on our appetites and desires. For this reason, more and more people have less and less control over themselves. Desires become inflamed, and appetites have to be fed. They can become very persistent and intense in their demands. The longer they have had their say, the more difficult they are to say no to. The first time I had a macrobiotic meal, I wasn't hungry for more than 24 hours afterwards. It took about 10 days for my taste buds to change from what they were used to what they became used to. That was an unforgettable lesson for me. It taught me that behavior patterns were always subject to enduring modifications if the person wishing to institute them was willing to put in the time for the change to take hold. In most cases, people are not willing to do this, and the ingrained physical pattern opposition to change puts up quite a resistance to it. People give in. They revert. Up to a certain age, people are flexible. Something happens in their chemistry and they become less flexible. This is the usual state for most people, but not everyone is like this. Some remain flexible for longer and some remain flexible for right on through. Sometimes that is a simple matter of astrology. Sometimes it's one of those patterns that got changed and didn't change back. It happens. The elements of the material world have density and they have weight. Our possessions and ourselves exist in a magnetic field. If we are surrounded by an excess of material goods, we might consider ourselves well off, but We wouldn't be, really. Not spiritually, anyway. That's one of the weird conundrums of existence. Everything on this plane is geared toward material success. It's what is celebrated here. It's what's glorified and commented on. It gives value and meaning to existence. And there's quite a bit of difference between someone with wealth and someone who lives on the street. It's as if the person of substance is a better person and the person with little has little value as a person. It's as if the person of substance certainly has a higher moral character than those with nothing. Certainly the neighborhood authorities think so. Certainly things are handled one way when a person of substance runs afoul of the law and another way when a homeless person runs afoul of the law. Let's face it. The homeless person is perpetually afoul of the law. The cause of all this is that it's the way our culture is designed. It's the motivating force. Having things, occupying an important position, being connected to the wellsprings of temporal power are the all-consuming drives, and if you don't make the grade, you're a failure. Since most people don't make the grade, mostly because most people can't make the grade, since the system is set up to favor the few over the many, most people are failures. If that's the sort of yardstick you use. We live in an upside-down world, and the pull down into the cauldron is intense, so that's something you notice when you try to swim away. It's hard to get outside of it anymore. There aren't that many places to go where you can get away and manage to survive. The omnipresence of the state is everywhere, it seems. If you live outside the system, you're pretty much an outlaw because of all the licensing, taxes, and the need to have an income, and you have to be able to explain that income or else you need to live well below the radar. You can't be the sort of person who goes around making undesirable noises that upset the status quo. But what upsets the status quo? Immorality certainly doesn't. Mass murder doesn't, as long as it has the proper sanctions. Child abuse and child murder don't, depending on who's doing it. Satanism is perfectly okay. From what I can see, it's perfectly okay to do anything you want to do, depending on who you are. What isn't perfectly okay is telling the truth and not going along with the program. One would have to say that the cards are stacked against you all up and down the line unless you get into the in crowd, and then you're in a whole other kind of danger, a much greater danger. And what is worse is that you are so surrounded by it, so immersed in it, that chances are you won't even give much thought to anything outside of whatever seemingly protective bubble you think you live in. That comes later when that stage of life arrives, when the dissatisfaction starts to set in, followed by unnerving moments of panic and incipient fear that aren't directly tied to anything. Life exists in stages, and things can change dramatically between stages. Places and people cease to be a part of your daily routines. It's all new, but it happens so gradually, you don't notice, really. Shakespeare spoke of the seven ages, which might as well be called seven stages, and he was pretty much right about that. If it were only a couple of ages, maybe people would be a bit more hip, but there's more to it than that. You don't realize at 25 that you'll hit 45, and that at 45 you might wonder about how you're getting old. You might even think you're old, but then you hit 65, and 65 is actually what you thought 45 was, but 85, now that's a whole other thing. And along the way, you lose the ability to do so many things you took for granted in earlier times. You find out that age groups you used to be able to move around in, you aren't welcome in anymore. At one period of years, your hair falls out. At another, it's your teeth. Your sexual function, given that you never practiced continence, diminishes and diminishes if you're a guy. And since so much of the way you measure yourself is based on your sense of performance manhood, well, that can't be good. So then you have that Viagra and Cialis and whatever else it is you rely on to provide you with the capacity, and along with that you get all those unpleasant side effects. But what price machismo, eh? You see these alpha males trying to hang on to what's going bon voyage. Ridiculous things like Donald Trump buying the Miss America pageant just so he can have them all over to dinner at his Palm Beach mansion. And maybe pick a few from the tree now and again. Of all the women I personally might consider desirable, were I into that Lothario thing, the bimbos that get involved in the Miss America pageant would be pretty low on the list. Yeah, aging reptile millionaires and billionaires, purchasing trophy wives and arm candy, and it makes me laugh when I see that kind of thing. Both of them are getting what they deserve. Trump's hair makes me laugh, too. The whole tired spectacle of celebrity and power monger worshiping just makes me shake my head. But that's the world we have, the world of the moment. And I would say the basic tenet of any useful philosophy would be make the best of what you have. And that's what we should do. Now, I've said everything I've said leading up to what I'm saying now for a reason. I wanted to set a mood for what I wish to say now. For most people, given what's been said, the outlook would be pretty grim for us. This does not have to be the case. I want to call attention to a phrase from the Bible. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there's another also. If God is for us, who can be against us? These phrases are truth. They are spiritual currency to the extent that you are capable of believing them. I mentioned in today's origami that there are three things you need to take you to the kingdom of God. And those are faith, certitude, and determination. Pray for them. Thirst after them. If you have these things, you need not be entirely virtuous, and other shortcomings will not retard you from the goal if you have these qualities. I say certain things over and over again, not just because they are really, really important, but because they are some of the most simple and effective ways to get to the kingdom in a non-denominational way. Through the gentle snorting technique, you empty your mind, and that brings you to the practice of broad daylight awareness, in which you see things as they are because there is nothing in your mind to distract you or mess with your focus. And because your mind is empty of extraneous influence, you are automatically cultivating the intuition. And what a marvel the intuition is. Though it should be obvious, I am sure, most people do not make the connection that it means inner teaching. That's the translation of it. The intuition is the conduit through which all our inspiration of every different sort passes to us. Without it, you are one of the blind leading the blind or being led. The intuition is adapted to your level of awareness, should you happen to pay attention to what the intuition tells you. Well, if you do, then... A time will come when your awareness will expand naturally from following the advice of your intuition and the information flowing from the intuition will upgrade accordingly. It astonishes me that people do not realize the value of the intuition. Do not hunger and thirst after it. It is a major, major key to any true success you might be after. You can ask the intuition for help in understanding something or to advise you on a course of action, and voila! Sure, it might come in a way different than you expected it to, and it might come at a time beyond what you may have wished. But rest assured, the intuition is perfect, and you are not. It's a rough world out there. Can be. It's like an ocean in many ways. Sometimes it's relatively calm and, you know, easy. It's never still. But sometimes it's calm. And sometimes it's storm-tossed and filled with immeasurable power, and you don't know if you're coming or going. And it can be pretty scary. It was for such as this that Jesus walked on the water, so that down through the ages, men and women might have faith in the moment when they come up against some challenge that seems beyond their capacity to manage. Imagine anything, and there's a biblical parallel. Being in prison, magically being released from prison. I had that happen twice. On one occasion, I said, "That's it." And I went into a state that appeared to be, well, crazy. Then they put me in solitary, and I stayed in the lotus position for the entirety of 3 days, except for brief periods of sleep. This is the Maricopa County Jail in Tucson, I believe it was. On the third day, they just let me go. And I was obviously exhibiting what might seem insane behavior to some. But the power was there. I've had so many examples of the divine interfacing with my life that all doubts should have fled long ago. But that's not in our hands. Sometimes we are compelled to play certain roles for the purpose of demonstration. So it goes. Well, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, hunger and thirst after faith and certitude and determination. Court the intuition. Lady Nature can help you in this regard. Go out into nature and ask her. Be persistent and sincere. If you're not persistent, you don't look serious. If you're not sincere, you will get little of anything from that area or anywhere in the invisible that counts. You will attract entities who want to feed off of your insincerity. Well then, that said, much love, Lady Nature and Tara, my love. La ilaha il alahu. Hare Krishna. Greetings, Lord Ganesha. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Baha'u'lla, and aloha, and aru. Yeah, yeah. He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when it gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.